If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
When I first signed him, he's like, you know, Dallas Davidson, who was next to our big lab, was right next to our building. He said, I can remember when he came to town that he was, a lot of people were saying that he couldn't write very well. And, but he kept at it. He kept surrounding himself around people and understanding. You know, working with new artists that were trying to get deals, the same thing I'm talking about.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are, so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music, and you can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it.
All right, well, I'm really excited to be here with, four of us today. This is the first time we've ever had this many people on a podcast at once, so I'm excited to connect with everyone here
right
at the same time. It's gonna be fun. Let me do a quick introduction. So I'm here with Ray Hamilton, Addis Love, and Chris Heaton. And I'll start by introducing Murph Music Group. So Ray, you're the CEO and founder of Murph Music Group / Song Placement Pros. You has secured major achievements like Miranda Lambert's The Weight of These Wings, a number one Billboard country album, and platinum certified album of the year winner. Is it pretty sweet? How many people can say that?
Yeah, now.
And we're here with a few of the artists that are part of the group, I'm assuming here, with Addis Love and Chris Heaton.
It's actually part of Angel Eyes Music, which is a company that I formed with Chris.
Okay.
We were producing his record, and and I just got addicted to be an artist, and it was magic. It was something, you know, let's do something with this and start unfolding. So.
Cool. What was the name of that again?
Angel Eyes Music.
Angel Eyes Music. Beautiful name. That was going to be one of my first questions. I was just curious, how do you all know each other? How did this get started? Could you share?
It actually started me and Chris through Song Placement Pros.
Okay.
So he was a writer, and turned into some great tunes, and we started developing a relationship, and then I started working with him one-on-one with his music to pitch to Sync and to some other opportunities. And then one of the conversations we had was we need to find an artist that can kind of be a voice for you as a songwriter, because Chris had been an artist when he was younger, but still wanted to continue to write songs and wanted to carry that on. And he was happy to be out and came across Addis singing, and he said, man, I think I found the right guy. And so they started working on their relationship. You want to jump in? You can, Chris.
It was kind of a cool story. I was out to brunch, okay? And this gentleman was in the corner playing, and I'm like, this guy's good. And he just has an amazing voice. So I walked up to him and I said, look, I'm a songwriter. And I'd been through the wars. I have actually 12 albums of my own music, but I turned more into a producer songwriter now with Ray's help. We're partners. But anyway, I found him and it's like, wow. And then I said, what do you think about singing some of my original music? And well, I've done this before with people and they're like, oh yeah, I'd really love to. And they never kind of, well, this guy's like, he's like at my doorstep the next morning at 6 a.m. When do we start? This guy just...
Like literally or figuratively?
No, not literally. But, I'm going to say, honestly, he had to take... He lives in Orlando. I live in North Palm Beach. I live on a boat. So we record our initial demos at my boat studio. But anyway, he started coming, taking the train to North Palm for about a year. And we wrote songs, and then we took them to Nashville, where he has a lot of connections. It was with studio musicians, and you know, we've got Grammy-winning hitters on our demo. Oh, they're not demos now; they're out. We were really blessed. But anyway, I caught him that way, and I'll let you talk now. Tell it. What's your take on this?
Well, my story is kind of. It's kind of similar to him. When he walked up to me, he was like, are you really singing? Is that really your fault? And I was like, yeah, it's me, I'm really singing, because I guess I was so close to the original. I do a lot of cover music, and I was doing a lot of record music that day, so Chris walked up to me, and yeah, I spent to do some of his original songs. And to me, it was like a blessing in disguise, because I was like telling myself, when am I gonna get out of seeing all these cover stuff and try to be original stuff? When really butchering myself as an artist, you know, not just like a cover person, you know? And I was excited about it. I immediately say, when could we meet? And we made a day, and I fulfilled that time. And when I got to his boat, and he exonerated, and I'm very much interested in that, you know, bringing them to life, you know? And from there, we just spend the whole year just recording, just stacking and building our relationship, you know, as songwriter, artist, and you know, we got to the point where we're ready for the world.
Right, and that's such a key part too. You're doing that is your relationship building all the way. It's like we're building our relationship here. From an artist to a writer, finding that writer, finding the opportunity to have a vehicle for your song as a songwriter, or as a musician, or an artist finding a backer or somebody to help get that vehicle to the next level, you know, to take them down the road. We did that much with Ashley McBride when we were doing her record, and on the front side it was a much like this. It was she was a songwriter, artist, and then we kind of saw the artistry side of her, and then it developed into doing a co-venture with another company, and then that helped her get her management deal, and it just kept building until she got her deal with Warner, and now she's doing great. So it's, you know, there's things that I've watched things unfold when they, sometimes we force it so hard, instead of just kind of finding the fit, finding the right shoe, I mean, that glass slipper, if you want to call it that, you know. Where, and I think a lot of people are aiming for the stars all the time. They're trying to get a Tim McGraw cut or Florida Georgia Line cut, or you know, they're not even together anymore. But you know, rather be any of those current stars or stars from the past. And not that you can't get those, not that you can't reach for those stars, but as a songwriter or an artist trying to get their way into film or TV or anything like that. You definitely want to build your relationship. You want to make those things, those steps are so key and so important along the way.
Beautifully said. Yeah, I mean, that type of relationship, Tim, that can be rare to find.
Yes, it is. Because a lot of artists, you know, sometimes they put their ego in front of their spiritual self. Like, you know, it's like, you know, who are you? Or what songs you've written before? And how would we be moved? You'd write for?
you have any hits, you have any that. And they you know, they kind of shun you, and they don't give you that chance to really to understand what their creativity and check it out for your treasure. So I'm not that type of person. It's not at all. As a matter of fact, so I always like to take things, you know, from the start. So I want to know for myself that what you have to offer me that's good enough for me or could fit me, the artist, than to say, I am not doing this because I am who I am. So
we
never had that ego thing in between us as a songwriter and an artist. You know, it's always a warm welcome. I put everything aside and I say, I'm going there to learn, you know, see what he has. It's a good
thing. We started, to be honest, I had some success, you know, on my own, and I've been on the charts before, but it's more rock music. So I've been writing all my life, but I've written a lot of really crappy songs. I mean, it really takes a long time before you hone your songwriting skills over time. But the main thing is, he was in Trinidad. He's a pretty big deal, and he's sings soca music. And this guy, I'm proud of him. He was up at Blinken Center singing the other week. He's done a lot of stuff. But he never did country music. And I never really was a country writer until several years ago. And all of a sudden I started writing these country style. They're kind of country pop crossover. And he calls some of it country soul. It's very soulful. I started writing these songs, and I needed somebody to sing them other than me, because this man is like the world's most incredible, but this guy can sing like you never heard. He's incredible. So we put those two things together and we had magic. It was like, he's like, wow, this is different. And I'm like, wow, this is exactly what I envisioned. And not only that, with Ray is such a good guy that nowadays in music, if you're gonna, we're older, so you don't have a lot of time. You bet if you're gonna go out on a journey with somebody, you better make sure that they're in the same foxhole with you. Yeah. And they're not running. Oh, where did Ray go? Oh, he's running over there. No, you've got to all commit. You've got to do what you say. You've got to put your ego aside, and you've got to get to work. And that's the only way it works. And we're a family, and it has worked. So, yeah, pretty much.
It takes a village.
Yeah, it does. It does, really.
That's one theme that you're sharing just in your experience with.
Yeah, it was that way. I'm basically redoing what we did with Ashley with Addison. When we first came across her, it was we were all doing a songwriters night out at the Rusty Nail and in Nashville, or actually in Hermitage, Tennessee. And there was several of my writers, and one of my main writers was the host up, and she came into the kind of the fold of songwriters writing out there. And there was magic there. And another couple of writers I signed out from there, Randall Clay and Scott Alexander and a couple other at that time. And you're all, you know, have had success with their music. Randall's no longer with us, excuse me, unfortunately, but his music is getting cut, and it's golly, at the chokes here. And so building that camp is what we're talking about, and you build those relationships, it takes that. And so at the time we had five writers, and I was like, man, you're magic, but we can't send another writer right now, so why don't you come write in our fold, why don't you come over, you can use the studio, you can write in our rooms, write with our writers. And not only did we grow with her and learn to write with her, she learned from us, and it became quite a family, you know. And even her guitar player now was part of another publishing company and writer in that building at that time. So, and I've watched things, I've watched people come through that building, from Craig Campbell to Shane McAnally to, and on their front sides, and Cole Swindell and different people that have done very well. William Michael Morgan and artists that we got a chance to be a part, they got to be a part of that village, and we got to share that with them. So, and you're saying, when you say that, it's just, it's so important. I can't stress that enough that building that team and that family is really the core part of success. and it seems like forever till you get there, but then, you know, a lot of people say it seems like overnight, but most of the time it's 3 to 5 years, and then it's bam, it starts to roll and you start seeing things really, really rocking along. I've seen it happen faster. I've seen people like Leah Turner and Lily Michael Morgan come in and they get their record deals within a year. And so it's like, it's an interesting process to watch because everything is different. There's no blueprint. There's no way to tell. It's not like a house that you go build. Here's the directions. This is how you do it. And 90 days later, you got a house. It's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Sometimes you have to wait it out and you get a lot of no's. If you listen to everybody from Ryan Tedder from Ashley. I mean, Ashley's song that we got cut with Trisha Yearwood and Eric Church and several others was turned down by everybody. Yet they loved the song. They thought it was an amazing song, but they didn't know where to put it. And sometimes things happen that way. The story with Keith Urban's a lot that way. He was there in town and banging it out, and the A&R person, I think it was at MCA, if I'm telling the story right, if I'm not, I'm sorry, but he was that A&R person, gave him the encouragement, said, you know, at the time it was Garth Brooks and Clint Black and Brooks and Dunn, and all that was popping. And he was doing his thing, what he's really doing, but he was that kind of ahead of his time. Mm-hmm. The A&R person really encouraged him to continue to do that. He had his own special thing. And then he started getting into those camps where he, you know, if you look back on records, you see him on the Dixie Chicks record he's playing on, and you see session musicians, he's doing things like that. He's build his relationships. Again, I'm driving that home, but that's really the important part of this industry and most industries, really, is, you know, people need to trust you and know that, you know, you're going to do what you say. And feel good in the room with you, you know. You know, feel comfortable with you and not just, you know, unrelaxed, or if you feel that tension, or go with your gut. When you see that things, you know, watch those things, because a lot of the time you'll find yourself chasing down after something because it looks like it can happen fast, and that's not necessarily the way it needs to happen.
It's a great lesson, then.
So he's basically saying by the time you're 90, you're gonna be famous. I see that. He only got like 40, 50 more years. Just said he does. That's the point of the story.
Oh, thank you very much. That's a lesson.
Yeah, the lesson that I'm hearing you say is what comes to mind for me is like a metaphor with like a seed that's planted and building roots and building relationships, to sort of like having the patience and the willingness to, you know, plant the seed and start to foster those relationships, let it, you know, blossom, and not try to force it too much, or try to, you know, sometimes if you're trying to connect with top of the charts artists and you're just starting out, it's sort of like there's this giant tree that already exists and already has all these root structures, and that's going to be kind of hard to like form those relationships with, where early on you really have this gift of being able to create this thing together.
Yeah, and you can melt friendships and relationships that grow into things from not just artists, but things like some of the interesting stories, like talking to Chris Lacey, who's the head of Warner Brothers. She was, you know, when I was first introduced to her, she was telling me about stories about her almost burning down, or I think she did burn down a publishing company with the candle burning or something as an intern. So it was all, you know, so you know these feet.
Let's burn.
And there's a lot, I mean, everybody starts somewhere. I mean, they start somewhere and they go from, and so no matter where you're at, you're starting and you're moving forward. So the people that you may not think that are that great, even, for example, I remember one of my writers, John Henderson, was telling me when I first signed him, he's like, you know, Dallas Davidson, who's next ever, a big lab, was right next to our building. He said, I can remember when he came to town that he was, a lot of people were saying that he couldn't write very well. But he kept at it. He kept surrounding himself around people and understanding, you know, working with new artists that were trying to get deals, the same thing I'm talking about. And then some of those artists were, you know, Rodney Atkins. Is that right? I think that's Thomas Rhett's son, or his dad. So, anyways, he had a deal, and then Luke Bryan was a writer at Murrah Music, which was the building we were at beforehand, and he wrote a song called "Good Directions," right, for Billy Currington, and this is before, and they were developing him as ours. So all these things start happening in these little circles of people, and then they start to build this thing, and all of a sudden, 5-6 years later, he's got 22 number ones, mm-hmm. plus, and I don't know how many he's got now, but and the songs are good. They're good, strong songs, you know. So wherever we start, and that's my point, I'll drive home, if you don't feel like you're where you want to be, or you get frustrated where you're at and you want to get bigger, or if you want to, just keep doing it daily. You got to exercise that muscle, whether you're an artist, whether you're a songwriter, whether you're a studio musician, whether you're a publisher, whether you're wanting to be an A&R person. It doesn't matter what, you know, it's like you're not going to walk into a gym and just be stout. You have to work out every day. You have to make those muscles stronger. You have to be willing to get your hands dirty. You know, and that's what, like with Addis and Chris, I'm so willing to dive in, get my hands dirty with him. And, you know, that's part of it too. It's not just, you know, you were saying sometimes we sit around waiting for things to happen, and you got to find the balance between, like, there's doors that will open, you know, whether you call it God or the universe or whatever, however your belief is, they will open up. That you're gonna have to walk through it. You know, those doors will open, but it's not gonna walk through it for you. You know, so you're gonna have to get your hands dirty. You have to get out there, hustle. You have to stay up late. Sometimes you have to drive a few extra hours.
I'm so annoyed, I can't believe I made you there. I was at, I'm gonna give a shout out. Like I it's funny, I like all kinds of music, and I really love country music. I know a lot of you, I go to the shows, I see what's there, but I've also always been a heavy metaler. Okay. So last night I went to see Falling in Reverse. You ever heard of them?
I have heard of them.
Oh my God, what a show. Those guys blew my mind. So I did stay up a little late. I am pretty much okay now, though. They're like, oh, you got to get here by, it's at 1? Okay, I can do that. Thank God this wasn't at 9. But everything's good. No, I've recovered.
You spelled out differently.
Yeah. But anyway, I just love these guys. They're my family. You know, we're going to have to let Addis talk a little bit about his journey, because he's got a very interesting journey, not like most people. So
yeah,
it's true. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about your journey there.
My story actually is I started off I born and grew up in Trinidad and Tobago in the West Indies. You know, I don't know if you know, Trinidad is down there close to Venezuela, okay, South America. Mm-hmm. And I started my journey. I started singing calypso. You ever heard calypso, like the Mighty Sparrow?
Okay.
And sounds like that. Well, thou, oh, you're making wedding plans. Very like an artistic music.
I want to hear more of that.
It's like, what's his name? The guy who just died.
Like Ozzy Osbourne?
No.
That's not him. Oh, sorry.
Not that, yeah. So I grew up on that, right? I grew up singing calypso, and then we started doing soca music and all that. So, and then in my country, it's all about that kind of music, like the Caribbean stuff. And I always wanted to do like a country song, but I couldn't really do it down there because nobody would really pay attention to you, because it's like island, you know, it's the island music. It's the food, it's the atmosphere. It's the, you know, the steel drums, the calypso, the costumes, the mask, the carnival. Mm-hmm. So they all kind of have a you know, it's a thing, you know, you gotta be there to understand.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So when I started singing calypso, and I started, you know, going into the competitions, and I ended up doing one of the major junior calypso monarchs, and I won. I came first. And then I climbed the ladder again, and they had another competition for like the teenagers and all that. I won that too. And then they had like a steel drum. I could do a steel drum song,
competition, I won that as well. So I started to get into the eyes and the ears of the people in Trinidad and Tobago, and I was known one time to be the best vocalist on the whole island. And I wanted to do different stuff, wanted to continue doing my career, you know, building my career. And one day I packed my suitcase and I told my mom I'm going to LA. I didn't know where I was going, where I was staying, I think. And I went out to LA. I called some people, make some contacts, and in less than a couple of days, I had a band. I worked at a band and got a place to stay. And you know, so I always had this drive to do better and you know, just keep climbing the ladder. You know, from there I moved to Florida, met my wife, had a family and all that. Fast forward into, I always wanted to do country music. I do R&B, I do top 40, I do reggae. I mean, I'm presently working for Disney and Universal Studios, and I work with several different genre bands, but I've never done country music. So when I met this young man, it was a challenge for me, and we just gelled, and now I am. It's like I'm so excited to bring out this part of me, because there's so much to transfer into country music.
It's magic, bro.
You know, it's the song and everything. It's just it takes me away from singing. You're making yourself a happy show, Melda. You're making yourself a bloody clown. Up and down the country looking for opia, and your perspiration smells so strong. Now that is Calypso. When you get a chance, check out the Mighty Sparrow and all that. So it's very articulate, very, you know. So it's from that to real country music and soul.
Sing us a little bit of what you did. You get hit by something?
And So I'm coming from that to, well, my boxer shorts were hanging from my ceiling fan. I got 5 different nightclubs stamping my right hand.
Yeah, baby, there.
Seems like I've been licking pool tables all night long. My head is thumping like a kick drum. All my money's all gone. Somebody pass me. Time to know. I got hit by a good time. Right between the eyes. Oh, I never saw it coming, but it must have been something in that salted light.
Yeah.
1 tequila, 2 tequila, 3, 4, 5. Quavo goes flowing just like wine. It's a little hazy, but I think it got crazy when the shooting sparked last night. I got hit by a good time. Yeah, I got hit by a good time.
There you go.
Yeah. Woo! So I came a long way. I came a long way from singing calypso music.
I told you he was good.
Yeah. Blend.
Yeah. End of your back.
And then
that style.
Yes. So, and then make it really more cooler is my accent too. It's kind of like a, it's not just like a, and I'm, you know, I kind of mix a little bit of American and Caribbean accents. But bringing that into the music, bringing that into country music, you know.
Yeah, we did a little lose who he was. I mean,
yes.
Either so authenticity is really important to yourself.
Yeah, so it's a flavor. It's a different flavor.
He's good at one thing though. Howdy, ma'am. You try to give that a try.
Ma'am.
I watch a lot of country shows. That's Cowboys. Oh, yeah, so my journey, I'm really excited about my journey, and I know there's so much in me that wants to come out and show the world what Addis Love is all about, and to bring this new era of country music coming from the Caribbean. Mm. So it's like Caribbean country music. Mm. You know, although we're doing country soul and country pop, it's going to have a little...
So I don't have to open it, there's a little bit there too, just when you say what you're all about and watching it from a different... from 10,000 feet, if you would call it that. There's a side of him outside of just on the music side that is where he really reaches out to his passion towards people and his, you know, his love towards humanity and as a whole. He just has a general kindness that's addictive, and not just addictive, but it's
addictive.
Yeah, it's all contagious is the word I'm looking for. So when you walk into a room, if we're all walking in, there's some things that just, there's this joy comes flowing out, and it surrounds the room. It starts to happen, and it's a lot of fun to watch, you know, from that side of it too.
We were, you know, in Nashville, we were doing some music videos a while ago. One's out now. Anyway, he's the kind of guy, there's a homeless dude that, you know, was singing. He's just singing, and there he goes. He just comes up to him and starts jamming with him, singing away with him. He did it in New York City in the park with another homeless guy. And there's no act. You're just there to bring some joy, bring some joy to them.
We kind of go to the same frequency and with people. It happens with people, it happens with animals. You know, it happens all around me.
What happens with the animals? I never heard that story.
I
got the animal story.
They always connect to my frequency. They always connect to my energy. Yeah.
Keep it cool, desire.
A lizard will just walk up my hand like normal, and people would be like, how is that possible? I could just, you know, they're afraid of people, but they just like, so I'm trying to say I'm really connected.
How about an alligator? What do they do?
We can test this. Backyard.
So we go get an alligator and see what it does to it?
No. No animal.
No alligator.
All right, we're taking a short break. We'll be right back.
All right. Yeah, we can't put it in an alligator.
Let's get the alligator.
Let's see what happens. We're going to put meat all over his head. It happened. Okay. All right. I told you I was the comedian of the group anyway, so here we go.
So cool. Laughter is healing. Yeah, us. Yeah, there's a analogy that I love thinking about as it relates to music and different genres coming together of kind of like parents and children. And now you might have two parents that have a child, and the child has strands of DNA from the parents, but it's also unique and it's original and it has its own thing. We can see it, pieces of where it came from.
Yeah.
And so one thing that kind of strikes me about hearing your background, your story, is about how you're kind of blending together these different worlds of who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and bringing that into kind of this new era.
You know, as you said, I want to share, I was put here for a reason, because there were so many times that I wasn't supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. For instance, my grandmother, she lived in Grenada, another island down in the Caribbean. And when she was getting ready to move to Trinidad, before she had my mom, you know, she packed her Lexus cases up, and she had to take the boat in those days to get to another island. She didn't have the planes yet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had a certain time to get to the docks to get to the boat, and she missed the time. When she got there, the boat already left, so she sat in the docks and she cried, and then that's the last boat. The next one is going to come in the next month. And she cried and she went back to her place, and the next day the news, they were saying that the boat just left and didn't reach her Trinidad. They couldn't find to that.
Wow.
So if she'd gone in that boat, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be talking to these guys without.
Wow.
You know, so it's my purpose. I'm here for a purpose, you know. And when I was born, what my mom told me is, I was the only one out of eight children that they had to give her a C-section to come out. The doctor said he last minute turned. I turned. So they had to give her a C-section and pull me out. And when I came out, he slapped me and I wasn't saying nothing. And he slapped me again and I wasn't saying nothing. And I guess he gave me a really hard slap and I screamed out. Wow. And then I started crying, and he was like, this is very unusual. You know, children, you know, the babies don't go that long without crying. And I don't know if I probably stretched my vocals at that time. And, you know, I just came out, you know, singing.
There's a moment when you were telling that story, I was in that thing, if you came out singing the thing you just sang in the country.
Right between the eyes. That's incredible. You never told me that story. You came out singing that?
I mean, we got in personal right now.
I was like,
this is the safe space for me, so I feel comfortable, you know? And if you're wondering how I got the name Addis, how we came up with Addis Love, is she was pregnant with me, and she used to go through this market
to get her herbs and all that. And there was this blind eye there, his name was Addis. And he told her, oh, Catherine's my mother's name. Catherine, congratulations, you're pregnant. And she's like, Addis, how could you possibly know you're blind? And he told her, he said, I'm blind, but it doesn't mean I can't see. And he said, by the way, you're having a boy. Wow. Take care of that boy. That boy's going to be special. And she's like, no, she couldn't believe it. And then she was in between names at the time, and she went home and she said, you know what, maybe I just call him Addis. You know, so Addis, it came to be my middle name, and Roger is my government name, and I was, you know, so I kind of have Addis as my middle name. When we were picking names for everything, I told the guys, I said, you know what, I don't want to go as my government name. I really want to use my middle name because it has so much meaning, spiritual meaning, everything behind it, and I really want to go with Addis. And I'm a lovable person. I love people. I love, you know, I want to use love, L-U-V. So we come up with Addis Love, and that's how it be. Bring it to light, bring it to the third dimension.
Yeah. It's the most powerful force in the world.
Great story.
Great story. So there's much to do. Much to do.
One thing I wanted to ask you about was around the purpose, right? Purpose and why, and kind of what drives you. And so I'm guessing all three of you have great answers to this, and sort of like what you see as your main purpose for being here, and what you're doing as an organization, as a team, as a songwriter with your music. Yeah. But I'm curious, as it relates to this particular project, what drives you? Like, what is sort of like your main purpose or your why, and what's the most motivating part of what you get to do?
I think I'm here. My purpose is really, you know, you a lot of people come here, and we come here with nothing. We chase everything, and then we leave with nothing again. If you think about it, you know, and my purpose is to come here to learn, to share, and to leave a legacy behind me, not the money but just my kids and their grandkids could look and say their ancestor had his love, left this legacy of knowledge with music, with, you know, and all these great things. So I want to leave a very, very great legacy behind me. I leave this area. You know.
That's nice. So what I heard from that whole thing is, you don't have to pay him. That out of if I have a more special story. Yeah. All right. Well, my special purpose. No, honestly, I've been a music ever since high school, when I picked up that guitar and started wailing away on the rock guitar, and I used to practice for hours on end, and then I went on the road playing for 10 years, and I was lucky enough to play a lot of major concerts and open for giant, you know, big acts. Like, I actually opened for Stevie Ray Vaughan years ago, and a lot, you know, Huey Lewis. I was on the sports tour, you know, the Barry Rock and Roll. I mean, I played with a lot of artists, and then I was always a rocker, and I just love music. Okay, some people, honestly, in bands, they get into it because they can get girls. Oh, I'm going to join a band. I'm going to get girls now. That's a perk. Okay. That's definitely
what drives us the most.
But I did it.
Drove Adam out of the garden.
What? But seriously, though, I just love music. I never gave up. I'm not a quitter. I kept doing albums. I did, you know, I have been on the charts 5 times with a lot of big artists, you know, Pink and, you know, Ed Sheeran. That was like 8-9 years ago. It's been a long time. It's a whole other discussion, but music has completely changed from when I was, on the charts. You know, now it's a digital streaming, you know, online world. It's a totally different world. You know, I can say that it's really difficult for musicians to make a living now. they just don't get paid. And it's kind of sad. There's so many great musicians, like, you know, even if you get, you know, I get checks for your, you know, BMI or whatever, but, you know, sometimes, you know, oh, I was streamed 30,000 times last month. That's frigging great. And then you open up your $205 check. I mean, it's really hard to actually live on it. You can go out to dinner maybe, but that being said, I've had a lot of success. And but then I realized that my voice is unique. It's a good voice. It's not a great voice. It's good. It was good enough. But now I need to do something different. I think if you're not willing to change and adapt, and you just keep doing the same thing over and over, you never know what other doors can open. So getting involved with him, who's literally a world-class singer, and you're going to find it out by listening to his music. And in my writing, it's kind of a magical combination. So I don't need to be the star anymore. I need to be part of his show and support him and let him be a star. And I'm just happy to be along and part of it. I used to be, oh yeah, it had to be me. No, egos can screw up things. You do what's best for you at the time, and then you just keep going. And, you know, for all the musicians out there that have quit, or there's so many of my friends that are musicians, and, oh, have you played? Hey, are you playing? Oh, I haven't touched my guitar in 5 years. I haven't done this. You can get discouraged in this world. But if you really want to succeed in music, you cannot stop. You cannot take a break. You cannot. The reason I'm here now is because of Ray and because of what we've done. I would never be sitting here if I gave up. Giving up is not an option.
In other words, I did it
my way. Well, you're playing the violin, but it's true, man. It's true, and he's not a quitter. This guy is just like plows ahead. You know, it's great. You know, it's great.
Yes. That's good.
Okay, Ray, your turn. Great. Your turn, buddy.
Okay. I think my purpose, and it took me a while to find it or to figure it out. I started from the artist side to the writer, producer, and then I got into the sync world, and I tried all these different things. And even down to have an independent record label and do the artist development and things like that prior to even the Ashley thing with another artist. When my business partner, Frank Murphy Jr., who was Murph, was backing the whole thing on the front end of this thing. And as we moved towards the publishing thing, I got to see a whole new side of the songwriters, and I fell in love with the songwriting side and the publishing side, and really giving creative direction on that side of it. So one of Murph's visions for the whole business, even back in the beginning, was he saw talent. That he would say, and he did, done it all his life. He was a giant in the oil industry. He was a oil and gas industry. He was in the Patents Hall of Fame. He was very successful on that side. But he had a real heart and a love for music and for people too. And so he wanted to create a vehicle or a pipeline, if you want to call it, for someone wasn't able to be in Nashville and no one able to be in. This is before Zoom and all that stuff. So he kind of wanted to have that where you could get your music heard and you could hear, you know, you have the opportunity to maybe get a record deal or the management deal or, you know, getting something placed in the film or whatever through a pipeline. And so after he died in 2013, I started looking at, and that was about the time we won the Miranda Awards, the album of the year, ACM album of the year award, and we were on that record. And at the time, it was number one on Billboard charts as an album. And so we won the ACM award, and my wife were sitting in the front room watching on TV, and she goes, aren't you excited? And I was like, I am, but I'm watching this business shift over the last 10 years. I really have a kind of a broken heart over the songwriter side of it. And where they're doing up this platinum record, but in written by Baxter from the Johnny's podcast. What is it called? The Climb.
Yeah.
Had this thing saying that he would always say, well, it looks good and looks on the wall, but not in my wallet, right? You know? And so, and it really was sticking in my head. I was like, man, it's like, I had put so much time and energy into these songwriters and seeing them work their tails off every day, you know, working hours and years and weeks on, you know, doing demos and getting turned down and doing the next one and doing the next one. This, and you finally get there and you go, this is all there is. And then there's nothing that really, no really payoff for it after all this. I can start looking at the system and going, it's like, you know, it's kind of broken, you know? So I really started putting my head to the wheel. And this is prior to Zoom, before COVID-19, before everybody started doing courses and everything on the internet. I thought, you know, what if I could just offer something to songwriters and artists that was a channel or a pipeline to be able to get their music heard, to pay, find a voice for songs and connect the two together, kind of like what we did with Ashley. But I'm like, well, with Skell, because there's so much talent out there. When I moved to Nashville, I started realizing that the majority of people aren't from Nashville. So they're coming from somewhere. So it's like, how about we reach out and we try, instead of everybody just focusing here all the time, let's see how much is out here that was unable to do it because they had a child that had a disability, or they had a mom that had to be taken care of, or whatever the circumstance might be, their health wasn't quite there, or they just, you know, they felt like they needed to take the day job and provide for their family and whatever. So my purpose became very driven to create that channel and through Song Placement Pros. When I started following that, all of a sudden they started happening. It was through all those channels that we ended up working with Chris, and now I have several different writers that I work with and pitch their music, and I'm getting film placements, I'm getting act placements of TV stuff, and that's working in those areas. And but when we came into this particular project, I'd done it, and I was to the point, and I'm coming up on 60, so I'm starting to think about, you know, it ain't very much longer that's, you know, it's not going to be cool to see Papa up there on the bar stool playing, right? You know? So so I'm thinking, you know, what really drives me? What am I most passionate about? And we started, Chris called me just to help him on the produce the project. And I love the songs. When they brought the songs, I thought, these are great songs, you know? So let's get them and see if we can get them out there. Mm-hmm. And then when you brought Avs to the table and we're sitting in the studio, I've seen hundreds of demo singers, I've seen a lot of people you push, and I've never seen a guy like this where you work 9 hours in the studio, no break in his voice, no really break that we did all day except lunch. What can I do next? What can I do next? And the passion was there, and I was like, oh yeah, this is why I fell in love with this. And so my purpose has really become focused not just towards the pipeline and things that, but to really make this a success. That's why I'm so passionate about it, because I see the drive, I see the energy, I see the things that reminded me of why I fell in love with it, you know? And so my purpose is to help this be a vehicle, not just for him, but if it paves the road with Angel Eyes Music, to do it for other people as well, as this fall as we, and so I don't necessarily have to stop. I don't have to, you know, I can do it till I'm 90 if I want to, if I'm still able, right? Because I mean, you look at Quincy Jones and those guys, as they grew into their age, they were still banging Clive Davis, all those guys. They're older and they're a lot more successful than me, and I'm putting myself on that same level, but I do understand their passion, and I can see why they still did it and fell in love with it, stayed after it. I want to be that for them. I want to be that person that's, you know, and for the world to get a shot to hear this guy sing and to actually get to know him on a level. It's different than when you watch people from a publisher side, and artists cannot, a lot of people can't sing. They either get treated on autotune or melodyne or this and that, or they don't know how to perform. they don't come to the table ready, and they have to work and develop their performance. And then you look at it, and it's like, gosh, it's like pulling teeth watching them try to just to do a performance for a showcase. And, you know, that was one of the things about Ashley that I fell in love with immediately. It was like, what she does now is what she did on the songwriter stage. Mm-hmm. And Billy Joe Walker told me, he goes, man, it's like, he goes, you got to look for it. It's the it factor. And if they either have it or they don't. And he has that it factor. Chris has that it factor when it comes to writing great tunes and hooks and ear worms that will get out of your head. And so you got, there's something there. So when they brought that to the table, we went in, I was like, I talked to Chris afterwards. I was like, man, there's something here. This is different. This is different. This is not what's out there. And that's what you want to do. You know, I go all over the place, but Shelby Kennedy was a good friend of mine. He said, yeah, and I was blessed by a lot of successful people steering me and telling me, go this way, be this, watch out for this soul, watch this, you know, again, relationships. But he said, be the purple cow on the hill. That's why when I signed Rascal Flatts, so that's what the deal was there. There was no boy band. There was no pop, rock, country-ish stuff out there. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to, you know, but they were signed to Lyric Shoot, which was a spinoff of Disney, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, but, and the song happens, the right songs fell into place, and the talent was there, the things were there, and when that all comes together, if you start getting the right team together, that's when the magic starts to happen, and it will find its way. So again, my purpose is to help these guys find their way to success and this company to success, as well as being able to offer it to other people to be able to do that. Not only with Songplace, but pros who were developed writers, and get that to that point, which is how this kind of started, but with artists now with Adolize Music. And I'm a music cataloger and stuff that we have to get songs out there, so.
And being here, it wouldn't be here without him. And did you get the alligator yet? Were you out? I thought you were going to, yeah, oh, okay, you're still working out.
I can go for a hike and find one.
Yeah, that's the end of the show. Or you want to end with the bank? The other thing is, you didn't ask him to borrow gas money home yet.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's beautiful. I really appreciate each of you sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What is that, like, this conversation, but like metaphors, like, keep coming in the other of my mind, and I think of the themes that you're sharing around building a family and a team and the roots. And what came up was, like, when you play a chord on piano, you know, you need different notes or different harmonies, mm-hmm. that, like, they resonate or they go together,
yeah,
and it makes the overall thing,
or what you're flowing at, yeah, it's a good way of,
you know, like, that's a version of this mass symphony that the team. And it does, like, you know, if you have a dissonant note in there, that's like, something's like, you know, something needs to resolve there to kind of to keep it flowing. It's really beautiful that you've created that team with those different harmonies that are kind of gelling together in a really unique kind of way, unique chord. So,
yep.
I personally am really excited to hear more of the music. And maybe to wrap up for today, could you share, I mean, we'll put all the links in the show notes for easy access just below wherever people are watching, but, you know, if you had to choose one song or one place to send people who are interested in diving deeper or connecting more, where would you send them?
Well, if they want to see videos and stuff, I'll send them to YouTube, Addis Love Music on YouTube, tunnel platforms, Instagram, Facebook.
Is there a good, like, intro song if you're going to have them start with, like, one of your songs?
I think Your Back of Time is going to be that song, because it's a good feeling, you know, a song to get you in the mood, like, oh my God, it's Friday, I'm ready to get hit by a good time, you know, it's just that song to get you all
started. We actually, just because the business model has changed, you know, this is through Ray, he's a researcher, which is great, we're not releasing an entire album at first, like, boom, here's our album. We're going song by song, and then eventually we're gonna release the album. So as of right now, there's two songs that are officially out. The other one's called Who I Am, which is actually a really cool song. That's also has a video right up there. Yeah, talk about Who I Am. Right, that's a cool song.
Who I Am. And I think it resonates with people out there who are getting problems to find themselves and trying to be somebody else. It happens all over, you think?
Yeah,
and Who Am I is just a song letting you know that you don't have to. Just be yourself it's you. Everybody was created unique in their own way, you know? It's that us being, we are all gods. We are all created in His form and His likeness. So we are all created for a purpose. So it doesn't mean that I have to try my best to be you, and you try your best to be Chris, and Chris try his best to be, right? You know. So
and that's who
it's
I
just
am.
Finding. It's just finding yourself, you know. And Who I Am is that song.
Thank you. I wrote that. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a great question. For fun. No, he's in
my turn. No,
Spotify. It's out there and the music.
And we're releasing our next one's called Born to Roam, which is going to be out probably 4 to 6 weeks or maybe a little more. And that's about the love of travel. Like, you know, this man talk all day. This man's been all over the world performing, and he's perfect for Born to Roam, baby. Baby, I was born to roam.
Maybe we'll be able to continue the conversation at some point. Yeah. You guys back.
Yeah.
Brings several, we'll have multiple alligators at that point.
And a crocodile. I'm really scared. Wow. Yeah.
That would be like the next step. The one step at a time for alligator.
We want to thank you.
Thank you. Actually, Adam Hassan, thank you.
Thank you for being here.
No, I appreciate his website will be up next week at adislove.com.
Okay.
LUD.
Cool.
Adislove.
Yeah, we got so much to connect on. Yeah, we have a platform that I think you would love and would love to have hear your music on there as well. And it's really about building communities. So looking forward to connecting more. Thank you for sharing your story. And
thank you.
Being who you are, sharing that unique.
Yeah.
Cord you guys have worn in between the three of you, and like always, we'll put all the links in the show notes for easy access right below the episode. And usually we end these the way same way that we started, so we do like a 3-2-1. 3-2-1.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.